I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about a mother's, our lessons we learn from the Bible and our moms. Before I get started, just a little side note here. It's just kind of disturbing. The other day I got an email and it said the leading carrier of AIDS now in the United States is the elderly. I said, yeah, I said, it's terrible. They have hearing aids, Band-Aids, Rolaids, walking aids, medical aids, and most of all, financial aid to their children. So thank you for moms for all your and grannies for all your financial aid to your children. Just a little something to make you smile before we break the Word of God. If you have your Bible, I'd turn with me to John, the second chapter. I know it's late and so I won't hold you but a few minutes, but I want to talk to you about some lessons that from the Word, from the Scripture that we learn about moms. And one of the amazing stories to me, it's not enough that Joseph and Mary would have to take authority and responsibility for God's son, but it didn't stop there. And it always amazed me as I read this story, the influence that a mother has. I don't know if you know it, Mom, but you possess a lot of influence in your family. And the Bible may talk about you being the weaker sex and all, but I'm telling you, when Mom speaks, there's authority and there's influence there. And so I hope that you will use your influence for good. How many remembers the first woman in the Bible? She didn't really use her influence too well. Mother Eve. And she took the fruit and she gave it to Adam. And I'm not sure Satan could have convinced Adam to eat the fruit, but Eve could. And so I'm saying to you, just setting a little groundwork here to say, you know what? Your influence is there for good or for bad. But let's look at Mary and the influence she had on her son. In John chapter 2 and verse 1, on the third day there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they had ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus, Mary, said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." Now this is Jesus Christ, God's Son, that's looking at his mother and saying, "This is not my problem, Mom." I mean, this is God's Son. He's fully God and fully man, but he's pretty anointed. He's God's only son, but his mother looks at him and she's prompted and she's going to influence Jesus Christ, God the Son. How many moms say that's pretty influential? You don't see Joseph there saying, "Now son, you might want to think about this." You don't even see Joseph in the picture. He may be passed on by now, but his mom is there. And he says, "My hour is not yet come." His mother, Mary, said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And I could almost feel it, Jesus squirming about now. Because, have you ever had God to use you in ministering a word or giving an offering or doing something out of your comfort zone and you feel that uncomfortable and you think, "I'm not the one"? Pick him or pick her, pick somebody else. And I can feel Jesus squirming at the influence of his mother when he says, "My hour is not yet come." And she doesn't pay attention to him. She's a mother. She knows about her son. And so she says, "Whatever he says, do it." In verse 6, "Now there were set 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece." So that's like 120 or 180 gallons of water. And says, Jesus listened to them. And I guess he broke the silence and he couldn't take it anymore. And so finally he says, draw some out now and take up, or fill the water pots and to the brim and draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have done well drunk, then the inferior, but you have kept the good wine until now. And this is the beginning of signs Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee, manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." So here's his first miracle, and it wasn't prompted as much by the Holy Spirit as it was by the Holy Mother. And so, here's what I'd like to encourage you to do today. Say, you know what? If God's son can be influenced by his mother, then my children can be influenced by me. And when they look at you and you're trying to prompt them and put them in the right direction, they say, "This is not me. This is not where..." And you know, and you've heard from God, just keep on pressing in the name of Jesus. Because it might be their hour. They may think it's not their hour, but how many knows? Mary said, "Whatever he says to you, just do it." And so I'm telling you today, moms, you carry a great influence, and I'd like for you to use it for the kingdom and the glory of God. Don't quit hammering your children. My mother still will tell me if there's something wrong. If she was here today, she'd say, "Son, leave that pulpit alone. You're gonna tear it up." she still will, you know. I grew a little beard about a year or two ago, and she'd be like, "What is that?" You know, I don't have it today, do I? You know, I mean, 50-something years old, and mom's still doing it. Second thing I'd like to talk to you about this morning, in a mother's heart, is this. I don't know of a bigger or more brave heart on the planet than a mother's heart. Couple of quick examples. We won't turn there, but if you want to write it down, in Matthew 15:21 through 28, the first woman was a woman of Canaan, and you remember she came to Jesus. She approached him with her daughter, and she says to Jesus, and here's another powerful influence that mothers have over men, and when it, especially when it's with their kid. It amazes me when I look and I see the heart and the brave. In the huge loving heart that a mother has. You can see it in animals. You can see it a bear. If you go up and bother her cubs, how many know she's going to get in your face? She's going to tear you apart. I mean, it's just a mother's heart. It always amazes me that the bravery and the love of a mother's heart. And so here she is in her daughter's. She says she is severely demon-possessed. It doesn't say how the daughter came about being demon-possessed. It doesn't give us any clue of that. But the mother knows that her daughter is severely demon-possessed. And so all of a sudden, this mother approaches Jesus and his disciples, and she says, "Lord, heal my daughter." And he won't say anything. And then his disciples, being the great men of God that they are, said, "Lord, send her away." That's pretty rude, isn't it? And she's hearing all this. And how many knows it's a different time and it's a different day than when she lived. She didn't have the rights that you ladies have today. She couldn't stand up. And if she did stand up to the wrong man, she could be in big trouble. It's not like that she didn't have this judge in her corner, you know, when this, you know, and all this, the laws and what you have. You have it made today. As you should have. I did good, didn't I? Influence. So you can influence me right now. Just say amen. But she stood up and she's being really just... I mean, it's terrible. They don't think about her feelings. They don't think about her daughter. Oh, it's rude. It's crude. And send her away. But you know what she said? "Lord, heal my daughter." And she bowed and she worshipped him. I thought, what dad would worship after that? But here's what I love about a mother's heart. It wasn't about mom. It was about my baby girl, and she's going to get everything that's coming to her if I have to beg, crawl, borrow, or steal in the name of Jesus. And so she says, she worshiped Him and said, Lord, heal my daughter. And then Jesus says, I'm not sin except for the lost sheep of Israel. I haven't come to touch your ethnic tribe, your people. I haven't come to touch you. I'm about my Father's business. And I love what Jesus says. I don't do anything unless I hear from my Father. But what's the influence in the heart of this mother? And she says, Lord, that may be true. And he says to her, you know, it's not right for me to take the bread that He's given to Israel and give it to the dogs. And she says, that's right. But even the dogs get the crumb that falls from the table. And I thought, you know what? There's nothing in her heart about her, is there? There's nothing in her heart about her. It's all about my baby and her needs. It's a mother's heart. I've watched Shanna do that with our children when they'd be sick. And you know, Jana deals with that as she hires and fires and all these people. And sometimes she'll be at home getting around in the morning. We'll get a phone call and I can hear, you stay home and take care of your baby then, and you let us know if we can help. It's a mother's heart. It's like, we're nurses, but somebody's not going to get nursed today because my baby comes first. You know? It's a mother's heart. And then I thought about how Jesus says, you know, woman, what great faith you have. And he comes off, and as far as I can tell, this is maybe one of the first times or one of the most obvious times that Jesus leaves and says, I know, God, I've not been sent for this, but this is faith, and she's touched my heart, and she's reaching out in faith, and I got to take care of this one. And he veers off his day for just a little bit. To make sure that, and the Bible said, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. It's amazing. Your heart amazes me when it comes to your children and your family. How about this mother, Jochebed? Does anybody remember Jochebed? You'll probably remember when I tell you who her son's name is. Has anybody ever heard of Moses? Well, his mother's name was Jochebed. I'm not sure what that means, and that, you know, but Jochebed. And they live in Egypt. They're slaves. They're under oppression. And the Bible says that Pharaoh had asked all the midwives to kill every Hebrew child that's born a male. And then that didn't pan out. And so he says to every Egyptian, to all Egyptians, if you see a newborn baby, a boy of the Hebrews, you take it and cast it into the river and kill it. And Jochebed gave birth to Moses and saw he was a beautiful child. And she kept him for 3 months. For 3 months, she kept Moses. And knowing if he was crying and an Egyptian passed by and got wind of it, it would put her and her whole family in danger. Her whole family. But Jochebed... You know, have you ever seen a little mother hen on the farm? I grew up on the farm, and we used to have little chickens, and it didn't matter. They could have 15 little babies, but if you just caught one, and that thing started yelling, that mother, I've never seen a mother that wouldn't come, a mother hen that wouldn't come and just get right in your face, and just start whipping you with her wings and pecking you with her beak, and you're just messing with one. It's like you've got 15 more. And she had two or three other children, but this was Moses, and this is my baby, and the king's not having my baby. So he kept him for 3 months, and finally, and I was always amazed that it doesn't mention Moses' dad in all this. I know he's a slave, and he's working, and he's making bricks, and all this kind of stuff, and building, and I know he's got certain restrictions, but it never talks about him and helping her. And so finally one day after 3 months, she makes a little boat and dabs it up with some tar and stuff and puts him in it and sends him down the river. And then Miriam, many believe it's Miriam, was walking along the banks to see what happened. And Pharaoh's daughter pulls him out and calls him Moses because I pulled him out of the water. and he was crying. And then little Marion, and you know, little boys wouldn't do this, but Marion did. She's a mother-to-be, you know. And she said, you know what? I bet you I can find a Hebrew mother that would nurse this child. That's a little girl, isn't it? See, little girls are just different. My little boys that are here this morning, they don't care. I was really impressed when Caden came in and said, Nanny, would you press my shirt, my little flap on my shirt's up? I thought, wow! Because they usually don't care. Now, Addie, she comes in, she's got a matching bow and matching shoes and matching this and matching tippy cup and what all, you know? But not guys, you know. But she has such a heart for her son. And so the little girl goes out and calls the mother. And I love this. This is only God could do this. And says, oh, I found a Hebrew here. Would you like to pay her? So now she gets paid to nurse her own child. Because of the brave heart of his mother. And he grows up to be a man of God that will bring Israel out of bondage. How many knows, moms, you never know what you're raising. You never know what they're going to do. What they're going to be, the plans that God has for them. And so I just commend you and your brave heart. I was watching a TV program the other day, and it had a cheetah and two little cubs about this tall. And this guy had followed them along and from their birth, and he had been watching this young cheetah, and she had her cubs. And so all of a sudden they're out in this open field, and here comes a big lion, massive thing, hair, beautiful. And the guy is just panicking. He says, oh no, here comes a big lion and it's going to kill the cub. This is the way the male lions do. They're a threat and they'll kill both of these little male cubs. And he's just panicking and he's telling his story and how he's named them all and they all have names. This is going to be such a tragedy. And so all of a sudden, she says something to him. She makes a noise. And they know they're in trouble. And so they run off and they cow down not too far away. And the male lion looks and he starts walking toward them. And you can hear this guy and he's just all involved in these cubs. Is it cubs or pups? Cubs. Okay? And so he's all involved. And all of a sudden he says, they're going to get killed, they're going to get him. And the mother walks around in between the lion and her cubs. And she looks at him. And then he says, oh, she's going to try to save him. Don't do that. He'll tear you up. You know, he's so much stronger and bigger. And so he's like, you know, and he lets out this big manly roar, you know. And she's like, I thought it's so funny. That's a mother's heart. She's skinny, and she can run. She can outrun. There's no way you can catch her. But you know what? Her cubs are on the line, and she's not running. I've seen mothers like that. In fact, when we were down at Sulphur and I did my sister-in-law's funeral, one of the stories that was told to me about her son, a kid had hurt her son and on purpose, you know, just being mean. And he came in crying and said, what happened? Said, so-and-so, you know, he hit me and pushed me down. And so she ran next door trying to get the woman out of the house. I mean, you don't mess with the woman's kids. And so it's so funny that the lion keeps walking like he's going to, you know, just, he's going to bully her and make her leave. And she just keeps walking closer. A little skinny, long, lanky thing. And she just, and this little hiss on her face, and he's like, and they're getting closer. And the guy's just panicking. He says, I can't believe this. He's going to kill her. And all of a sudden the lion goes, just lays down. And she stands there looking at him. And then all of a sudden, she just kind of walks off slowly with her and her cubs. And he just lays there like, I don't think I want to mess with her. It was amazing. And the guy just was freaking out. He said, I can't believe it. He's leaving. That never happens. But I thought, that's the heart of a mother. And that's her babies. Even in the animal kingdom. I think that's why we're so amazed sometimes whenever we see a mom that disregards her child and for a man or drugs or whatever it might be. We're just amazed because the average mother's heart is just huge. love for their children. And then finally, the last one I want to mention is ladies, God loves you right where you are, but you know what? Wherever you are, He loves you too much to leave you there. He wants you to grow the next step. And He wants to take you. And I was reminded of a lady that had really, it doesn't say how she got there, it doesn't say what all happened in her life, but her name was Rahab. And Rahab, you know, the Bible was real adamant, I mean, it's real clear and open about calling her a harlot. Rahab the harlot. I'd like to make the Bible, and that's what you were known as in your biblical sense. Rahab the harlot. How many know God loves you right where you are, but He loves you way too much to leave you there? And you know the story, and I close with this. When they came out, were coming out of Egypt, and they had been wandering for 40 years, and now it's time to finally go into the promised land. And so they're finally going to take possession, and so God sends out two spies. And these two spies, somebody catches on to what they're doing, and they send word to the king, and so they dart into Rahab's house. And I thought this when I was studying, I thought, you know, Rahab the harlot, two spies going to Rahab the harlot's house and stay. And I thought, you know, me and my buddy was out spying out the land, and I came home and I said, yes, God saved us. We stayed all night at the harlot's house. You'd be like, what? I would just rather take my chance in the bush if it was me. But they stayed at the harlot's house, and here's God's heart for a mom, for ladies, and she said to them, she hid them from the king's man and said, if you hurry, you can overtake them, and so they pursued them, and she took them, and this is what she said. She said, I've done you kindness, and she said, now what I'd like them to do is save me and my family. She becomes an intercessor. Rahab the harlot becomes an intercessor for her family. And God blesses that. And they strike a deal and they say, okay, that'd be fine. If you'll have a scarlet thread hanging out your door. Remember when they came out the Passover, they said, you know what? If I don't see the blood, I won't pass over you. And so here's the scarlet thread hanging out the window. And the story goes like this, that they came in, they marched around Jericho, but they removed her and her family and saved her because the heart of Rahab. And God's saying, you know, I don't care where you've been and what circumstances has caused you to be where you are today. What matters is this. I love you, and I love you too much to leave you there, Rahab. Now, here's what. I believe this is true, and I read this week where another Bible scholar, Orr Corbin, was talking about this. He believes that Rahab, I believe it's the same Rahab that you read about in Matthew 1:5. It says, and evidently, Salmon was one of the spies that had went to spy out the land, and he came back and he married Rahab. That helped them. That helped God's people. They took a risk. Risked her own life. That's the heart of a mom. God took her from where she was and in the situation as a harlot and put her in the lineage of Christ. It says, and Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. And not only the king, but you remember Bathsheba and all that scandal, and then Solomon came out of that scandal. So sometimes, this is what I want to close with, Mom. Sometimes you may feel like, you know, well, I've done this, or I haven't been the best mom, or I haven't done the, oh, what if I'd have done this, or what if I'd have done, been this, or what if I'd have, you know, let me just stop you right there and say this. God loves you right where you are, but He loves you too much to leave you there. So just reach out to Him and say, God, I believe You have a great plan for my life. And with all my mistakes, maybe you can say, well, I wasn't a harlot. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The kids sing about the grace of God today. And so what I'd like to do is say, you know what? God, love me right where I am. Just like You love Rachel, just like You love Jacobed and Mary and all the others in the Bible. And today I want you to know, you've got pray wherever they are right now. Maybe some of them going through things that they never thought they'd have to face. We ask you to bless their situation and elevate them to a new level. God, we just ask the blessings and the anointing of God would be upon them in their walk, right where they are. And just let them feel your peace, your power, and your presence today. And take them, God, to new levels of blessing. To new heights for your kingdom and your glory. I believe today, Lord, you have a great purpose and plan for them. And I ask you to initiate that today and give them new hope and new anointing to accommodate their walk. To help them to be all that you've called them to be. And let them know today how much you love them and care for them right where they are today. And what great things you have in store for them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. While Christians are praying, heads are bowed. If you're here today, maybe you're a mom here today and respect from the Lord or your walker. Maybe you've never been invited to Christ in your heart. Get in Christ or need to renew your already? Did we get the video? You got one up here? You didn't get that one? Okay. Alright. Well, it's exciting today to see young people that love God and want to take the next step. And it always blesses my heart when I see young ones like this pursuing God. And I know it bound to bless his heart when he experiences young people to say, can I get baptized and can I do the next step?